Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon. I am your host, Shane Bacon. An exciting one today. Michelle Wee West joined the Clubhouse for the first time ever, and we chatted about golf and her expectations and now desire to come back stronger as she is in her third trimester and their family's expecting a baby girl this summer. Very exciting news for them. We chatted about her career and early on and how she was able to handle everything that came at such a young age and what she wants to accomplish now that she's got this vigor to return and show the world that she can get back out there and compete and hopefully win again on the LPGA Tour. And then we had a little bit of fun at the end, asked her some random questions, and on we went. Hope you guys are having a great week. Hope you guys are staying safe and smart. Wanted to let you know about a couple things. The first thing is this Saturday, April 25th, Max Homa and myself are doing what we're calling Regripped. It's a watch party of an old USGA championship powered by our friends at Cisco and the USGA. And we're going to get going on April 25th, this Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern. We are rewatching the 1996 U.S. Amateur. Oh, yeah. Tiger, the three-peat, six USGA championships in a row. Can he pull it off? He's got a young man out there trying to hold him off at Pumpkin Ridge and Steve Scott. And good news, we've got some guests that will be joining us. David Fay is going to be a part of it early on to just let us know. He was in charge of the USGA at the time, just to let us know about the hype that was around the 96 Amateur. Of course, Tiger Woods was changing the interest in golf. He was going for a third straight U.S. Amateur, which was unprecedented. They had all these requests for media and tickets and interest in and around the championship. So David jumps on, tells a couple of great stories about that. And then we're actually going to have Steve Scott come on later in the telecast in the rewatching of this championship just to talk about battling Tiger in match play and what would it was like in 96, being in the moment, the whole move the ball mark back that happened, his girlfriend at the time, now wife, on the bag as his caddy. So it should be a lot of fun. We're really excited about it. We have a few of these USGA championships we're going to focus on moving forward. We have a U.S. Women's Open we're going to do. We've got some old U.S. Opens. This is the first one, of course, with the U.S. Amateur. So make sure you join us if you can. The interface is super professional. No more of this, you watch us as we watch the telecast. No. This is all going to be in the same interface. You'll be able to watch it on your laptop, your computer, your phone, whatever, and you'll see the broadcast and you'll see us talking about it all at the same place. It's amazing. Welcome to 2020. Thank you, Cisco. That'll be fun. Excited about that this Saturday. Other than that, don't have a lot. Make sure you're listening and subscribe to Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon, our other podcast. We put those out on Mondays, sometimes Tuesdays. It just depends on if we're a little exhausted from some of the rewatching we've done over the weekend. And we will get back to, the actual golf stuff once the PGA Tour returns, which as of now is expected to be June. Big news with Tiger, Phil, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. That's exciting. That looks like it's going to happen in May. So a lot of things are slowly returning, and it looks like we will see live golf at some point this year. And until then, we'll just watch old golf tournaments that we forgot about or that we want to see again. Okay, that's enough for me. Let's get to our guest. And we welcome in for the first time to the Clubhouse, Michelle Wee West. Michelle Wee West, how long did that take to get comfortable with? Are you writing it out? Are you signing autographs with a third name now?
It's kind of funny because I've done a couple of things where I had to like be like, oh, hi, Michelle Wee. And like, see, I did it there again. And I still have to say Michelle Wee and then rewatch it. And I look at my husband and he gives me stink eye. but no, it's definitely like a new name gets like getting used to. But I feel like it flows pretty well.
Rolls right off the tongue. It was easy to say. I was going to ask before we started talking about golf and life and things like that. You and I were a part of a charity poker event last week that benefited the MGM Foundation and all the employees that obviously have been affected by COVID. And I was texting you trying to get a little info because I was hosting it on the broadcast. And you mentioned that You played poker when you were in high school against your dad and his friends, and that was where you got your lunch money, your allowance from that in golf. Was that where it came from?
Yes. Yeah. So I hung out a lot with my parents' friends. We would play golf and I would definitely hustle them for money. my parents didn't really give me much of an allowance. So I was like, okay, I'm going to hustle my dad's friends and make some moolah. And then I think I forgot what day it was, one day a week, they would all get together and play poker and, I would hustle them again. I wanted to buy a car, a beat up car by the time I was 16. So I have all this, I have this all this cash in this envelope that I would track, track how much I was taking out and how much I was putting in. And, definitely, I think I definitely got enough to buy a good old beat up car. But then by the time I turned 16, I never really had to use it, I guess.
Yeah, the side hustle. It was a side hustle to make bit of dough. I'm impressed. I mean, you would hustle. I'm assuming you would hustle people on the golf course as well.
Oh yeah. Oh, for sure. I knew I was good. I'm this 11, 12 year old girl. I'm unassuming. I was unassuming. No one really knew of me back then. And I would just go out and beat everyone.
when you were that age, when it was clicking in your head that you obviously were massively talented and you had this ability to play the game at a young age. And I feel like you were able to, and this is the mark of prodigy and prodigal young people, is you were comfortable in the moment as well. At what point in your mind did it click that this isn't normal? The way I'm able to play isn't normal. There's not people out there around the world that can do what I'm doing at 11, 12, 13 years of age.
That really never hit me.
Really?
I think I was really large. If you ever dig up old photos of me, it's quite embarrassing. I'm wide as I am tall. And I was built like a linebacker. I was 5'7" by the time I was 10 years old and I weighed 170 pounds. So for me, it was just that, I was already so abnormal as it is that it felt normal. And I think I give a lot of credit to my parents for making me feel normal. They never held me back. Even Mary B. Porter King, who, played on the LPGA, and she is definitely one of the driving factors of, of my success as a junior golfer. They put you in age groups when you're younger. Mary B and my parents, talked and can she play in an older range group? And, I won the Toronto Champions in the 15 to 17 age group when I was 11, I think. So since then on, it's just, there was no boundaries that my parents put on me. There was no, they're always sky's the limit, do whatever you want to do. And I give them a lot of credit for making everything that I did feel normal, the abnormal path that we took. It was just, we're doing it for the first time. It's not like there's any, rule book or anything like that. And, I was just, really strong minded and clueless a lot of times. And I think I was clueless in the sense where everything that I was doing, okay, this is normal. I'm playing a PGA tour event. I was that's normal, right? I mean, I was I was the only girl on the boys baseball team and I made it, in the little leagues and I made it to the All-Stars and I was that's normal. Just everything I did, I was a big tomboy. I knew I wanted to do something. I wanted to be a professional athlete that from a very young age, set my path.
Yeah. And, I was an awkward kid as well. I mean, I was the opposite of you. I was tiny. I didn't grow until
I could eat you for lunch.
Oh yeah, for sure. I was five. I had to sit on a CD. The encyclopedia of CDs we used to have, the ones that would zip up and they were huge.
I would
have to sit on that when I first started driving because I was so short. I could only imagine as a 10, 11, 12 year old who may or may not feel a little uncomfortable considering you were a lot taller than everybody. And you were also, I would say, you were kind of carving out a path that nobody has seen before. How are you able to, I know you're talking about your parents and crediting them a lot. How are you personally able to feel normal, A, maybe feeling a little abnormal in yourself, and B, playing a sport that wasn't quote unquote cool? I mean, you know, golf wasn't a sport that all the quote cool kids were playing. So you were really out there on an island alone.
I really was. I was on an island and on an island by myself. But, you know, thankfully, so, you know, being in school, being so tall, they actually lined us up by height in sixth grade. and, you know, my best friend, my maid of honor, actually, she was the same height as me. So we were like on an island together. So that was really nice. You know, it's just, it's funny how like you meet a couple of people and they make you feel so at home. And that to me were my parents and, you know, my best friend growing up. And then when I went on a tour, you know, I qualified for my first LPGA tournament when I was 12, and, you know, it was a scary place. And then almost immediately, I remember I played with Meg Mallon in the Pro-Am when I was 12 or 13. And, you know, just her who being who she is, you know, a Hall of Famer. And, you know, from day one, she welcomed me with open arms. And, you know, it's just people like that make you feel so comfortable in an uncomfortable position. That, you know, I think I try to this day try to make rookies feel comfortable. No matter how old you are, no matter what situation you are, coming out on tour is definitely an awkward situation. It's uncomfortable. So I'm just really grateful that I've had people like that in my life, like my parents, you know, like, you know, people that I look up to that were just so nice to me from the very beginning.
Yeah, and life changing a little bit now for you in a different way. I mean, obviously, what are you? Are you second trimester right now? How far along are you?
No, I'm third trimester.
You're into three. There you go.
Oh, yeah. It's getting real.
Yeah, I mean, we went through this a year ago, what you're going through right now. Obviously, a little bit different when we went through it. I mean, it wasn't quarantine. How is third trimester pregnancy during quarantine been? Has it been nice just because you're basically chilling anyway?
It is. And it's also scary too. You know, it's just, you know, new news coming out. In the very beginning, it didn't seem like, you know, pregnant women and people in my category were, you know, at high risk. But then, you know, you hear of pregnant women getting it and then it causing, you know, early labor, and then you hear of like newborns getting it. So all these news is like, it's definitely scary. We're, you know, we're at higher risk because we're already, our lung capacity is at its max already,
right?
You know, pump more blood and all of that. So definitely being more careful, you know, just definitely getting stir crazy. But I think this time has made me realize that I'm not cut out to be a stay-at-home mom. Definitely more props to women that do, because it's, you know, it's hard. But yeah, we're definitely getting stir crazy a little bit, but the uncertainty of everything is just a little bit, you know, scary. You know, we're planning on heavily leaning on our parents to help us out in the beginning, but, you know, it looks like with quarantine that it, you know, really just might be the two of us stuck in a house with a newborn, which is great. But also, you know, it's crazy when your plans change. And, you know, that's what we've realized, that with pregnancy and with everything, I know it's going to be good practice for baby. You can't have a plan, because it's whatever you have a plan, it's going to be different. So you just have to be loose and go with the flow. And that's what we're learning.
Yeah. I mean, I was reading some quotes that you mentioned earlier this year, you know, kind of pre-quarantine when the world was still the focus and not this, you know, which is, you know, been the focus for the last three months or so. And you were talking about your now passion for getting back into golf, competitive golf, the LPGA Tour. And it's because of your soon to be baby girl joining the world and you being able to show her, hey, mom's got this talent, this ability to go out there and play. Did you feel like that was going to be something that came back to you, that this interest and this desire to get back into the grind mode and getting back to trying to get to where you once were with your game? And is that something that you're really excited about eventually getting to?
It was surprising for sure. You know, I was fully ready to walk away from the game. The amount of pain that I was in, the amount of, you know, just every day looking at a golf ball and just knowing that it was going to hurt. It was definitely getting to me. It was definitely challenging for me mentally to go out there and step it up and, and to know that every single shot was going to feel a certain type of way. So, you know, when I first got pregnant, I was fully ready to walk away. I was sad that, you know, I didn't get to, you know, finish my career the way I wanted to. But I was ready to, And then, you know, we found out that it was a girl, and then it's just, it was incredible, how my whole perspective on the world changed after that. I think pregnancy has changed my, my perspective on the world as well too. There's so many things that have come to light, but especially knowing that I'm having a baby girl, like it completely changes my perspective just because I want to show her. You know, I want that moment where, like, you know, a moment like my dream that I'm going to have a moment that Tiger had, you know, where, you know, he came back while in the Masters and his son was there to watch him. So I definitely am more motivated to go out there. I want to show her that, you know, that mom is strong and, you know, that I can come back. So definitely been very inspiring and motivating for me. And it's definitely a new set of motivation that I never felt before.
Hey, is there a newfound love or passion for golf in your life? Because I can imagine the injuries that you've gone through and the battles you've had getting back to a healthy position where you can compete has made you at times not like golf. I mean, I'm not putting words in your mouth, but I would imagine if I went through something like this, I would probably be down on the game and the sport personally. This seems like a rejuvenated Michelle Wee who wants to go out there and compete week in and week out. And that has to be basically bred internally with a love and a desire for the game.
You know, it's funny when I actually was playing really well as a kid. And then I hit my struggle. That's when I really actually found the love of the game.
Really?
Strangely enough. Yeah, like through my lows is when I really started to appreciate the game, and really start to love it, especially like through my injuries. You know, last year, no matter, you know, how much it hurt, my love for the game has never gone away. I think that's why I was focusing, you know, on broadcasting when I wasn't in the game. I love the game and, you know, it truly allowed me to be a fan of the game. I really enjoyed, you know, being on TV talking about golf just because you can kind of nerd out and not really focus on yourself.
You're telling me.
Get to watch the game. Yeah. You know, just I think for me, it wasn't the love of the game that went away. It was more a fear factor. It was just I would look at the ball and just get terrified. Not terrified about the result more so, but just like of how I knew what it would feel like. So that I think stepping away from the game and taking time away, that memory has definitely gone away more so. And it's allowed me to heal mentally and physically as well. And it's been fun, like, you know, playing with my husband and getting competitive with him. And we always, you know, have really fun matches. So that's been, you know, really fun to get back into. I've always, you know, loved the game and I just wanted to go back and, you know, play and have fun and not worry if the shot's gonna, you know, break my hand or not, you know?
Yeah. What's the matches like with you and your husband? I mean, how many shots are you giving him a round?
Sometimes we'll go from like me not giving him any, like I'll play the back tees, with him. Or, you know, we'll play the same tees and I'll give him a couple of strokes here and there. But yeah, it's pretty competitive.
So he's good.
Really good at golf. Yeah.
I mean, that's impressive. If he's going to get up against you, you know, you were talking about Tiger in the moment Tiger had at the 2019 Masters. I've also seen you mention some players on the LPGA side of things. You mentioned Jule Ingster, Suzanne Jarena, some of these players that either had a child and came back to the game or played as they were pregnant. And you talked a lot about the inspiration that you've pulled from those players in particular.
For sure. I mean, I would have loved the chance to play while I was pregnant. I don't think physically that would have allowed me at all. You know, I was really sick the first trimester and then, you know, more kudos to the girls that played while they're pregnant. I mean, I was thinking, oh yeah, I'll definitely be that person that plays while they're pregnant. You know, it sounds like so much fun. It's not fun. I can barely play nine holes now in a cart. And it's hard. Life is hard. Breathing is hard. You know, so I remember Hee Won Han won, I think like 7 months pregnant back in the day. And just like watching all these girls, like I know Brittany Lang like played really late into her pregnancy as well too. It's just, it's crazy. It's just, it's really, really incredible. Like watching all these pregnant women do all these like things and, you know, actually going through it and like, you know, really realizing how hard it is to like create a human. Like I have so much more respect for women. I have so much more respect for like moms, my mom especially too. It's just crazy.
Yeah, you know, when my wife, when Cindy went through the pregnancy, I was reminded daily that women are just thousands of times tougher than men, because the stuff that you guys go through, you know, we would all, every man on the planet would be laid up in bed, especially third trimester, and especially early on when you were sick all the time. We would not have been, I would not have been able to handle, I can promise you that. So I couldn't agree with you more. And when you see, you know, Stacy out there playing and she's 4 months pregnant, or you see these other players out there competing and knowing the stress of tournament golf and all that goes through you emotionally and physically, it really is something I feel like we don't talk about enough of how impressive that is.
Oh, for sure. And it's, but I mean, especially when they're not showing,
right.
You know, you look the same, but internally, I mean, we have hormones making us crazy. and you know, just nausea, tiredness. I mean, like weird things that happen too to your body that I was like, what is going on? And it's like things that you don't see. And it's just like, it's crazy. It's like an ultra marathon. And, you know, I'm just, I have so much respect, more for respect for women. And it's crazy. People that play, and I saw an Instagram video of Alex Morgan doing like kettlebell swings at 9 months old, 9 months pregnant. And I was like, wow. Really, like I'm underachieving right now.
You're like, I'm good. I'm gonna enjoy this couch. Once the baby girl is introduced this summer and you get to a point where you can play, I kept reading as I was diving into some of the stuff you've said this year about your passion for returning to the game. I kept reading this one sentence and people were saying unfinished business. That's what they kept saying. Now, you know, you've won a major championship. You won the 2014 US Open. And it was the moment of your career that everybody remembers. What is quote unquote unfinished business to you in your career when you return to the game that you hope or you feel like you haven't accomplished yet that you want to accomplish?
I mean, I think I have a new goal now. I definitely want to win a tournament with, you know, my husband and my baby watching. That's definitely a new goal of mine. I just want to go out there and finish playing pain-free. You know, I don't want my last memories of playing golf to be of me icing my hand, of me like cringing every time I hit a golf shot. I just want to go out there and, you know, play free, you know, with having fun and going out there. And I want to, you know, win a tournament again. That's definitely something I want to do.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. You mentioned the television thing. I knew you would be good. I didn't know you'd be that good. You were supernatural from the word go. You know, you have a very unique opportunity because you're so popular in the golf space. You're young and you can speak to a younger generation about the game. Is TV something that once you get back to golf and you're out there competing, do you feel like TV is something you could see yourself doing for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, you know, Johnny Miller-esque? I mean, is that something that you're interested in doing, or do you feel like it'll be a part of your life but not your whole career once golf is done?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't really given it, like, too much thought. You know, I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it when I first did Solheim, and then I did the live with Golf Channel at the Players. I was just like, okay, like, you know, I'll be something to fill my time up. You know, I want to be part of the Solheim and all that. And I didn't realize like how much I really enjoyed it. I really felt like the adrenaline of live TV was the closest thing I felt to like first tee jitters almost. And I thought that was really exciting. Like I said before, it just allowed me to be a golf nerd, to really be a fan of the game. I think doing the Players Championship was a whole different beast as well too, just going out there on a different tour. I mean, I know a couple of the guys, but you know, I don't know their stats like I do the girls. And I it was just really fun to do research on them and to, you know, like, I was like, wow, these stats are really good. I was like, it made me want to practice more. So I'm like watching their stats. I'm like, damn, like these guys are good. But I really enjoy it. Whether I want to, you know, do it like my whole career, I'm not sure exactly yet. I do want to do television though. I mean, it's fun for me. I feel like talking about the game, it's a good brain exercise, and I can, you know, say I use my major. So college was
one right. in the way. Communications, right?
Yeah.
Always nice when you actually use the degree. I feel like less and less people are using what is printed on their degree for what they actually do at this point as the world continues to change. I've got a few quick hitter questions for you. First one, I think I know the answer, but we'll see. Funniest golfer in the world, go.
Funniest golfer in the world?
Yeah, funniest golfer in the world. I mean, that you know, you've known, and you find the funniest person that happens to play professional golf.
I mean, Tiff Joe. I don't know if she's like funny. She's like really weird.
She was who I thought you were going to say. That was who I was setting you up for that, you know?
Yeah, you know, I think it's like she's like a weird funny though, you know, like not normal. That girl's not normal.
Yeah, weird funny is the perfect funny. I feel like weird funny is the funny I want in my life.
Oh yeah, I mean these songs that she's coming out in quarantine, like changing the lyrics. She's a genius. I mean, she's hilarious.
By the way, like Jihae, how can you be this good at everything? She's this. It's so annoying.
It's really annoying. I texted her. I was like, at least be ugly. Jeez. I'm like,
she's like brilliant, incredibly high IQ, and it has this, you know, opera level ability to sing. You're like, oh, cool. So what? And she played professional golf.
I know. It's crazy. It's absolutely insane. And now she's like, the one thing I thought she couldn't do was cook, and now she's like cooking in quarantine, and she's like sending me pictures of all this like delicious meals that she's making, and I'm like, gosh. I'm like, suck at something, please, so I can feel better about myself. But, you know, I'm just amazed at my friends. They're just so talented. I mean, like, weirdos and losers like Tiff Joe. I call her a loser only because I love her. But, you know, she's so talented in as well. I mean, all the stuff that she does with her songs and music, surfing. I mean, it's incredible.
What's your best talent besides golf? What's your secret, sneaky best talent?
Oh, I don't know.
Can you sing?
The first thing that popped into my mind is pretty pathetic.
What was it? Let's hear it.
I can like down 5 shots and like feel fine.
Oh, okay. You're like my sister. 5 shots and you're good to go.
No. Exactly. No. But I think I'm a pretty good cook.
Okay.
I think that's like a, I think that's something that I do really well. I don't know.
Cooking is it. We'll go with cooking. All right. Next question. What's the best round that you've ever witnessed in person? So it can be practice, it could be tournament, but the best round that you've ever watched up close.
Ooh, it's on the tip of my tongue. I like remember it. I don't remember it clearly. I know this one. You know what? It was actually when I played with Kari Webb and she won the ShopRite. I remember playing with her and it was windy. And this is probably because like it's not a course I feel completely comfortable with. And she was just like playing so well, making everything. And I was like watching her and I was like clapping. I'm like such a fangirl when it comes to Kari Webb. But I was like, this is amazing.
You find yourself clapping and then you've got to hit a 12 footer and you're like, oh, I got to pay more attention to what
like
I'm doing.
Neck to neck with her, like in contention, you know, trying to win a golf tournament. I was like, oh my God, Kari Webb just hit like hit the most amazing shot.
What's the shot that you'd consider the best shot you hit in your career? And it can be a putt too. I always hate that shot sounds like a full swing.
I think the one that comes to mind is 2009 Solheim. My first Solheim Cup in a singles match against Helen Alfredson. And I was like so intimidated going in. I was so nervous. My hands were like physically shaking. I couldn't get them to stop. And she chipped in on the first hole to go one up. And I'm like, oh, great. Oh, my gosh. Here we go. And then the second hole, the par five, and she was shorter than me. So she hit her shot to about 12 feet. And I was like, oh, boy. And I was like downhill, 190-yard shot. I'm hitting a five iron. At that time, I was hitting blades. And I hit a five iron, and I was so nervous. And I was like, I knew what I needed to do. I just focused, and I hit it to about like 9 feet. And we both made eagle to tie the hole. So that was definitely the best shot of my career, I think.
The nervy five iron. The Solheim Cup nerves, I mean, even winning a U.S. Open, are the nerves comparable in those two events? Or with the team and country and all the stuff that goes with the Solheim Cup, did it feel bigger in terms of how you felt on the golf course?
I think there's more nerves on Solheim just because it's not just about you. It's about your team and your country. You don't want to let people down. So I feel more nervous at Solheim, but it's something that I can draw upon. Like when I had that double bogey putt on 16 at the US Open, I had like a 7-footer, I think, for double. And I was so nervous, but I also drew upon, the Solheim from the year before. And I knew that I can do it just because I have made putts like that in a more nerve-wracking situation. So I definitely draw upon the Solheim every time I'm in a pressure situation. Like even, when I won HSBC and I had that long putt to win, I just kind of drew back the same like passion and inspiration that I feel from the Solheim.
Do you feel like you would have been able to win a U.S. Open and pull from experiences if you hadn't played in a Solheim Cup? Do you think that propelled you to be able to feel comfortable in those moments?
Oh, for sure. I think it definitely helped. I won my first LPGA tournament the same year that I played Solheim. It happened like just a couple months afterwards. And I think that was like a big turning point for me. Like I said, that shot that I hit on the second hole was a big turning point for me, knowing that I can handle my nerves like that. And it was something, it's stuff like that you need to draw upon experience at times. And, when I won, Lorena Ochoa's event for my first tournament that I ever won as a pro, I definitely drew upon that experience. I drew upon that I knew I could perform when I was that nervous.
What city do you get the most excited to visit when you're on the road on tour? A city you go to, obviously go to year after year.
Yeah, I think definitely playing back at home, back to Hawaii when I go back. It's definitely the one week I really, really look forward to.
Okay, first week of your daughter's life. Will she have more baby Nikes or baby Warrior gear?
Baby Nikes for sure right now. I mean, I'm going ham on the website. it's just the onesies and the shoes are just, I die. They're so cute. Although, I mean, I'm looking at these onesies and I'm like, why can't they make this in like adult size? Because I kind of want onesies. I want someone to like fit me up in a swaddle me right now and put me in a onesie.
Yeah, my son yesterday, I had him in a, so my son is obsessed. I've started playing records, like vinyl records. I would play him when he was really little, when he was, 2 months old, 3 months old, and he had no idea what was going on. Uh-huh. And I would play records. Well, now when I put a record on and he's at 10 months old, he starts laughing and getting excited before the music even starts because he knows what it is. Uh-huh. And so I'll video him occasionally. And I videoed one yesterday. He was wearing a French bulldog onesie. And I had two separate friends uh-huh. message me and go, can we get that outfit in adult size? Because that actually looks like something I would wear in the house, especially during quarantine. So I'm with you on the adult onesies.
Exactly.
Let's get more availability is what we're saying.
Yeah. Like I want to self swaddle. Like let's get some swaddling going.
I think you just have to lay on the ground and roll yourself up in a blanket. I think that's basically the adult version of a self swaddle. But maybe we might be onto something. You never know. What movie have you seen the most in your life? The most viewed Michelle movie?
Oh, Mean Girls.
Easy.
Mean Girls or Step Brothers or Talladega Nights.
Now they're all comedies.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I think Mean Girls is a good call. Okay, I know the answer to this question. Let's see how close you get. When you Google Michelle Wee, what is your guess for how many hits come back on the Google?
Oh, I have no idea.
Let's see, you can have any guess in the world. There's only wrong answers except for one.
1 million?
No, you're more popular than that. You got to go a little higher. Look, I'll give you three guesses and you tell me which one you think is correct. Okay.
Okay.
10 million, 40 million, 200 million.
I'm just going to go for the middle one. 40?
44,800,000 hits on Google when you look up your name. Is that crazy?
That is crazy. People are bored.
People. All right. In last question. In 20 years, I want, this is you. In 20 years, I want people to remember Michelle Wee as a blank.
I think I want people to remember me for my resilience.
Okay.
I just hope that, like, I can inspire, you know, golfers or girls or, you know, boys to just never give up and to always be true to yourself. I just think, you know, as abnormal the path that I went on, I hope I've inspired some kids to do the same, to not be scared to do what they want to do, even if it's not what quote unquote normal. So yeah, that's what I want to be remembered for.
I like that. Michelle Wee West, thanks for jumping on. I appreciate the time. And you'll just be hunkered down, just waiting till the summer until baby girl arrives.
Yeah. Hoping that someone will swaddle me.
Thank you for your time. Stay safe.
Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
A big thanks to Michelle for joining for the first time. Hope you guys enjoyed the conversation. Just a reminder, Saturday, this coming Saturday, 1996, U.S. Amateur. We're going to rewatch it. Max Holmes and I are going to rewatch it. 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Jump on, joining us. It should be fun. It's going to be great. Tiger was down, and then he makes this huge comeback, as he always did in the amateurs. So I hope you guys are excited about that and pumped. We are. And that is that. We'll check back next week. If you like the podcast, make sure you rate and review it. It helps us out. And actually, do one more thing for me. Follow the Clubhouse at the Clubhouse Pod on Instagram and on Twitter. That is where we send out stuff like tees and koozies and stickers. Those are where the announcements are delivered. Have a great weekend, and we will chat with you soon. The Clubhouse with Shane Bacon is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.